a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. So now on this, the first Thursday in November, we do as we always do on the first Thursdays, which is we do the Spiritual Lens with Matt Connerton. Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleash. He's founder, president, CEO, and I'm sure 5,000 other things which are not listed on what I'm reading at IPM Nation. Matt has his own radio show that's a drive time show, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 at
You're so close.
Oh, wait a second. I can do it. No, I can't. What is it?
It's WMNH.
WMNH. I actually said it the same time you were saying it. As soon as I surrendered to my addle brainness, it came to me. What do you know?
Yes. Well, you know the easy way to remember it. Just think Manchester, New Hampshire, MNH.
MNH. But it's WMNH. Yeah.
Correct.
And is that supposed to indicate like why New Hampshire? Why Manchester, New Hampshire? Is that what the W stands for?
Oh, maybe.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking?
I like it here. I like Manchester.
Yeah, I know you do. I like you anyways.
Thank you.
So this on the first Thursday of every month, we do we kind of poke around the world, see if we can put a little spiritual spin on it, but also talk about what's going on around the world. And there's a lot going on right now as we're coming up to the dreaded election week. One of the areas that Matt specializes on his drive time show is to talk about all sorts of things to do with politics. And how do you describe yourself? No leanings? Leaning on your left?
I like to say I'm a non-ideological, practical pragmatist.
Say that again.
Ideological. A non-ideological, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't try to put myself into an ideological box by saying I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative or I'm a libertarian or anything like that.
Oh, okay. So what I want to ask the question is, are you saying that most politicians are idiots? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, I think they're pretty smart. I mean, they figure out how to
screw over
the rest
Americans?
Of us and, Yes, and that is a skill.
I suppose. All I want to know is, with a sucker born every minute, how many minutes had to pass before we filled all of America? Or at least enough of them to put up with the shenanigans that Washington has us put up with. Can somebody do the math for me? And please feel free to call in, because today's show, as all shows here on the Dr. Kevin Show, are call-in shows. And you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, MyDrKevin. Like the page. I'm a likable guy. And you can see tonight's posting, and you can post your thoughts, your ideas, and your questions there. So, anyways, Matt, I had a couple of things that I kind of wanted to talk about, but, you know, politics is back to being a hot issue, obviously, with elections. You do a lot of politics on your show, so I want to ask you this question to start out with. What has most surprised you lately since our last show a month ago? Because last month we were talking about Let me see what we were talking about. Sexual predators. Weren't we talking about sexual predators last month?
I don't remember.
I
It's all
think
a
so.
blur.
I think we
Were
were talking about
we?
Brett Kavanaugh and Trump. So we were talking about sexual predators last month,
Oh,
right?
yes, right, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to verify. So anyways, so what has most surprised you that's going on, and what is the hottest topic nationally and in the state of New Hampshire that you guys have been talking about for the last few days on Matt Connerton Unleashed?
Not too much surprises me anymore, but I think I've been somewhat pleasantly surprised, at least to see some of these Republicans standing up to Trump on the folly of this. You know, he's going to sign an executive order to end birthright citizenship, which of course he can't do because that's unconstitutional, and it will be rejected by the Supreme Court ultimately if he tries to do this. And that's been a pretty hot topic because it's interesting the political calculus here. Obviously, it's red meat for the base. You know, he's about as likely to be able to do that as he is about as he is as likely to be able to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it somehow. You know, but he has a base that likes to hear this kind of thing. So even though, I mean, and it would be physically impossible to, you know, the other big promise that he made recently was this middle class tax cut, when he first tried to roll that out, which apparently surprised everybody. He said, you know, maybe before the midterms, and he said that after Congress had already gone home, so it would be physically impossible to pass anything like that through Congress. So he's just throwing this stuff out there ahead of the midterms. But with the ending of birthright citizenship, that's a calculated risk, or as calculated as Trump is capable of being, because yeah, the base kind of likes to hear that kind of thing, and you might energize some of the base. It's like, okay, cool, Trump, you know, they'll say, okay, Trump is suggesting something that seems racist, and the base is obviously energized by that. But at the same time, some of these Republicans who are up for re-election in states that aren't necessarily always voting red, he may have actually done them more harm than good. So that was a little bit of a surprise. I honestly didn't expect I didn't expect him to go on that show Axios and be talking with I forget the reporter's name now, but be talking with him about, oh yeah, you know, they're telling me I can do this by executive order and we don't need a constitutional amendment. I can just do it. That's been a bit of a surprise even from Trump. And it's definitely been one of the hot issues on the show. You know, of course, that and the terrible shooting at the synagogue and whatnot. But I've tried not to spend too much time on that because it's depressing. But you know, the midterm elections and all the questions around the midterms, will the Democrats take the House? Will the Republicans keep the Senate? That's my prediction. That's also a big topic. Chris and I were kind of talking about that before the show. But you know, in the Trump era, there's always a million things going on at once. There's always lots to talk about, and always a surprise around every corner.
What do you think would most surprise you right now if it happened? Because we're not going to see, we're not going to speak until after the elections at this point. I mean, unless we speak personally, privately, what would most surprise you?
Oh, well, what would most surprise me would be, I think, if the Democrats don't take the House. Nobody really knows if this blue wave is real. You never really know. Just like I don't think anyone really thought Donald Trump would be president. I think it's real, but if that doesn't pan out, I would be surprised. And I would also be surprised if the Democrats do take the Senate, because my prediction is they'll take the House, but not the Senate. So if I'm wrong about that, I would be surprised. Now, some might say, well, Matt, you were wrong when you said that Trump had no chance of winning the presidency, and you know, so I can be surprised at times. My prognostications are not always accurate, but I'd be very surprised if this doesn't go the way that the polling indicates it's most likely going to go.
Okay. So it will be interesting to see how all of this unfolds. I'm just curious, do you think that Trump has ever even seen the Constitution? Do you think if somebody put it in front of him, he would recognize it?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
No.
Just checking. Okay. So moving on from that, I mean, I'd like to have a little bit, again, you know, politics is the hot topic right now. And I am going to, like I said, I have a couple of other things I'm going to bring in on tonight's radio show, but I do want to stick around just a little bit more with this subject. So if Democrats took the both, what do you think would happen?
If they took both, the House and Senate?
Yeah.
What do I think would happen? The obvious thing that leaps to mind is not necessarily that I think this would happen, but it's you know, the obvious question, I think, is would they move to impeach? And if the Democrats took both the House and the Senate, yeah, I think they would feel emboldened enough to move for impeachment. You know, and other than that, I mean, Trump would be a lame duck. I do think that, you would see also probably more Republicans, because right now Republicans generally are terrified to stand up to Trump. When they do criticize him, they try to do so very gently so as not to upset the base, especially when they're up for reelection in the midterms. But I think with the midterms in the rearview mirror, if Republicans lose both the House and Senate, I think they will also abandon Trump. I think they will blame Trump for losing the House and Senate. And I think that at that point, they will see no reason going forward to continue to defer to him as much as they do. So I think there'd be a real change in attitude.
Okay. And if Republicans keep both houses?
If they keep both, then we're going to see more of what we're seeing. I think it's extremely unlikely, though, that they keep the House. I think it's extremely unlikely.
Okay. So if you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see as our political expert here?
Yeah. I mean, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd like to, what I'd really like to see is the destruction of the two-party system, and let's elect a wave of independence. But short of that, I mean, I would like to see a rebuke of Trump take place. So, I'd like to see Democratic control. I'd like to see a rejection of Trump's policies and of his rhetoric. And, you know, historically, a pretty good way of letting a president know that you're dissatisfied with his, you know, if it's not an election year for the president, your next best option for letting the president know that you're dissatisfied with his performance is electing a whole lot of people on the other side. So that you end up with, so then the president has to show some humility in the wake of that, whether it's George W. Bush in 2006, who had to acknowledge that the victory of the Democrats in the midterms was a thumping, or Obama in 2010, I think it was, when he had to say, look, it was a shellacking. That was his choice of word, but you know, you gotta let the guy know that we're not happy with a lot of this stuff, and we're gonna vote for the other side, and then you better course correct if you want to win re-election in 2 years.
Okay. So here is the question. Does Trump have it in himself to do a course correction and make a humbling statement? Or do you think he's just going to go on the attack and attack all the Republicans as, this is all your fault. If you had been more supportive, if you had done more stuff, you did this to yourself. I have no sympathy for you. My people know what they want. They want me, and you screwed it up.
Oh, it will absolutely be the latter. Absolutely. Trump does not. To use some of Senator Ben Sasse's verbiage, one of the few Republicans with the cojones to actually stand up to Trump, he is dispositionally incapable of showing any kind of humility or self-awareness or taking any kind of responsibility for anything. No, he'll definitely do the latter. He'll blame Republicans for losing, and will not accept any blame or responsibility at all, ever. I mean, he does not have it in him. It's not who he is.
Well, it should be interesting times. We'll be going on break shortly, so I'm just going to give a little couple of peeps. I read a very interesting article on some shift in Christian evangelical some humiliation in a park. And we're going to talk about both of those coming back on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. If you'd like to be part of tonight's conversation with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and myself, you may call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You'll see today's show being right at the top of the post, and you will be able to comment, and we will bring your questions into our show. So, do you want to talk about the Christian evangelicals first, or the battle of the bullies in the park?
Oh, let's talk about the Christian evangelicals first. That's always
okay. Fun. Okay. So, well, it's interesting. I saw this on Apple News. I read it, and what I found was that it was talking about. That there is a shift actually going on with young people, and that shift that's going on with young people, young Christian evangelicals. And so what's happening is that they're getting uncomfortable. This is done on a, this is what they've learned, and they got about 1,500 people, young people, who identified themselves as young evangelical Christians, and they're seeing a real struggle with an administration as they see hostile to immigrants, Muslims, LGBTQ people, and the poor. They feel it reflects a loss of humanity, which conflicts with their spiritual call. And even though they say that Trump has achieved some things that they feel are their goals, that overall that these current political leaders are not a good representative of what they were raised to believe as young evangelicals. So first of all, before I continue with that, what do you think of that?
So just so I'm clear, so in other words, so they're saying that young evangelicals are rejecting Trump in a sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that
they're rejecting go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, here's what makes sense to me about that. They haven't had, young evangelicals have not experienced the conditioning that older evangelicals have. And what I mean is, I've said, and I think people think I'm being kind of tongue in cheek when I say this, and maybe I am a tiny bit, but I actually do believe there's truth in this. I've often said that I think the reason that evangelicals love Trump so much is because after decades of being able to turn on their televisions on Sunday morning, especially particularly not to pick on the South, but in the southern part of the country, probably even this is more prevalent. They're used to turning on their televisions on a Sunday morning and seeing a con man in a $10,000 suit telling them, you know, listen to me, do what I tell you, and you'll get to heaven. So they've been conditioned for someone like Trump to come along, someone who, in my view, embarrasses himself every time he even attempts to discuss Christianity or the Bible or anything. He comes off completely insincere and duplicitous, really. But they're conditioned to see a rich guy who speaks like he does, and he's, you know, and he's pro-life, allegedly, at least he claims to be now. So they're willing to buy in, whereas younger people, younger evangelicals, have not had that same conditioning. They haven't spent decades, because they haven't been alive long enough, turning on their televisions on a Sunday morning and seeing a con man in a $10,000 suit telling them, you know, do what I say and you'll get to heaven. So they're naturally more skeptical of someone like Trump. Plus, you know, I mean, Trump is in his early 70s. I mean, they're younger people are more likely to be skeptical of someone that much older anyway, right? Because of such a huge generation gap, too. So it really doesn't surprise me at all. But that's my theory about why this would be.
So interestingly, and I don't disagree with that at all. I think that, you know, if you're indoctrinated by one con artist, it's easy to be taken in by another con artist. And let's face it, the con artist in the $10,000 suit is as much a hypocrite by building the $5 million mansion when he's asking people to donate 10%. That may be the difference between how many meals they eat or not that week, so he can buy a $5 or $10 million mansion. So they're used to being screwed over and buying hope.
Right.
So I would agree with that. I just found a couple of very interesting lines that I wanted to share. And this is from, this one is from an Alexandra Bigotal. This is an article out of the New York Times. I want to give credit where credit's due. You know, we're talking about somebody else's work here. They did the article on it. And she said, I was pulled out of Smith College in 2015 when I told my parents I was rethinking the legitimacy of anti-gay theory. And I thought, God is going to have to forgive me. I'm not going to die in this culture war. And I thought that was an extremely powerful statement. And she went on and delivered at her church a communion message and said, our God chooses to die the death of all these marginalized people. He dies like Matthew Shepard, like the kid at the hands of the state. He was a refugee. Her church reprimanded her for abusing the pulpit, though other members used it to openly stump for Trump and to say hateful things about Muslims and LGBT citizens.
Wow.
And she goes on to say that she thinks that we've done immense harm to the marginalization in the name of God. And so, you know, she's actually become on, she's actually ended up going to become a Democrat. And not that I'm saying that the Democrat is the great white way either, mind you. I think that they're both equally rotten to the core. But, you know, I thought that this was very interesting. And she is voting for Andrew Gillum. I don't know what race he's in. Off the top of my head.
You don't know what? I'm sorry?
Andrew Gillum. Where is he running?
Oh, he's running for governor of Florida.
Oh, okay. Okay. So he is he's in that race. Okay. I knew I recognized the name, but I've seen so many names slope by, I couldn't put them all in place. And I knew you would know, so, you know, why bother? She, one of her closing things is it's more realizing you could be practicing something that isn't even Christian at all by supporting this bigotry based Christian evangelical. But this was, some of those were quotes by her, but this was an overall view by, again, talking to over 1500 young people that all classify themselves as young, being raised and being young evangelicals. So I think that it's interesting. I take great hope that the young people are not just drinking the Kool-Aid, that they're at least questioning in some way, shape, or form what's going on and what's happening. If you'd like to weigh in on whether you think that hate is a Christian value, that's being demonstrated in some of these, anti-immigration, anti-this, anti-that, please feel free to call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. If you think that there is a justification to the $10,000 suit, well, people in his congregation are starving, call in at 202-570-7057. We're welcome to your opinion as well. So that was the first of the stories that I wanted to bring up. And then the next story that I wanted to bring up that I found kind of interesting, and I'm calling it the bully on the playground story, but it really is, there are these women who had a that were had their daughters out at a public park. Did you hear about this? I'm talking about.
No, I don't think so. I mean, these types of stories seem to come up a lot lately, but I don't know that I've heard this particular one.
Okay, so these mothers get together and have a mother-daughter play date in a public park. And these are little kids. These are like 2, 3, 4 year olds. And a mother showed up with her young son, who was like 3 or 4 years old, and they asked her to leave. They told her that this was for mothers and daughters, and that it would negatively impact them at a public park by her having her male child there, who was all of 3 or 4.
Bizarre.
And claimed that they were just trying to, trying to stand up for, all of the marginalization that has happened to girls. And this is how they were doing it. Public humiliation as a child punishment and girls only play dates. I got this off dearly.com. It showed up in a few different places, but I've been reading about it. So there were lots of opinions on this. What I want to do is, what do you think the opinion said? And what do you think of this? And what would you say?
Well, I would say it's just bizarre. I mean, that's a very strange way to stand up for the marginalization of females. I would hope that that would be the majority opinion, that most people would say, this is just kind of weird. Why would you do this? I would hope. I have a terrible feeling I'm wrong.
Actually, you're not.
Okay.
The funny thing is, a lot of people stood up, a lot of people came out, and a fair amount of those were women, and women that even identified themselves as feminist, and basically said, that this is the kind of action, no matter who you do it to, that started the trouble in the first place.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Marginalization is marginalization, and that is marginalizing this. I mean, like, this 3-year-old hasn't been like, abusing women and putting them down and treating them like second class citizens. I don't think. So the question is, just how crazy, just how crazy is this? And do you think that they were trying to make a difference? I mean, do you think that they really thought that, or were they just trying to create a reason where they just had a us only park day? Like, we just, I'm hanging around with my best girlfriends, and I just don't want anybody else around because then I have to watch what I say and what I do. And this is just a good way for me to, like, create it. Do you think that people are actually feel like something like this would be justified, or do you think that this was just a smoke and mirrors claim on the part of the young girls, the young women, the mothers?
It's hard. I find it hard to even speculate. It's such a bizarre thing to begin with. It's so odd. I mean, who knows? I don't know how to even speculate it, but what goes on in the mind of someone who does something that strange? Who knows? I mean, probably a mix of different things. I'm sure they weren't all thinking the. I'm sure. I mean, when you have any group of people together, obviously, there's a mix of motives among the people. So who knows? But it's just very, very odd.
It is very odd. I thought it was worth bringing up.
Yes.
And I really, I somehow marginalization or preaching hate of any kind is still hate. It's still marginalization. It's everything. It's like saying, because I was, you know, hit as a child, then I am now justified to hit, you know, somebody who looks like the person who hit me.
Right. Like, right.
You know, does that really ever make sense? Is that ever really logical? Like, what's going on in the twist of that brain? And are we doing things that are supporting that? Are we supporting that kind of crazy in the media today? What do you think?
Well, so much of that behavior is unconscious or subconscious anyway. I mean, you know, someone who maybe was hit, who then hits someone who reminds them in some way of the person who hit them. I mean, they're not necessarily consciously even aware of what they're doing, why they're behaving that way. I mean, so much of what happens in our childhood affects us in our adult life in ways that we don't recognize, or, you know, I mean, sometimes it takes someone else to notice, you know, the behavior and to notice why we're doing what we do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you mentioned the media. I'm not sure how the media plays into that, but I think that
The crazy things people will do to get their one moment in time.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And we will be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Help, my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one Om at a time. On tonight's show, as always, on the first Thursday of every month, we have Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can listen to Matt Connerton's show through ipmnation.com. He has a drive-through show at WMNH in Manchester, New Hampshire, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. So you, if you cannot get it live on your station, you can get it through IPMNation.com, where we also host Dr. Kevin and Friends, the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ad nauseum, Dr. Kevin and all the people he's met along the way. Right, Matt?
Yes.
Yes. Did I lose you for a second?
Oh, I don't know. I just heard you say, Matt, did you say something else?
Yeah. Did you miss the rest of everything I said?
Well, I heard you talking about Dr. Kevin and Friends and all that, but then I just heard you say, Matt.
Oh, okay. I said, right, Matt. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear you say right. You must have dropped out for a second. I just heard you say Matt. I thought you were seeing if I was still here. But yes, right, Dr. Kevin.
Okay. So, I you know, this is the part of my show that I normally, on all my rest of my shows, do what a load of crap with Dr. Kevin. And of course, we don't follow the normal format the first Thursday of every month. But I think I'm going to resurrect just for this moment what a load of crap I think that these surveys about Trump are that are appearing on the Facebook feed. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the one that I'm thinking of one that I keep seeing pop up on YouTube. Well, maybe it's on Facebook too. The one that pops up that says, "Do you stand with Trump, or do you think he's doing a good job, or whatnot?" And wants you to click yes or no. Are you talking about that?
Well, this one, I don't know about YouTube, but there's been three or four of these, and they all kind of, you know, do the same thing where they're trying to make you think that your opinion counts. And I'm saying that they try to make you think that your opinion counts, because I almost started filling one out and did one until I read the fine print.
Right.
So first of all, it is sent out from the Trump presidential candidate campaign for 2020.
Oh, of course, yeah. They're already getting ready.
And like, so the question is, how would you rate President Trump's job performance so far? These are your choices: great, good, okay, and other.
Right.
There are no, I think, you know, like bad.
Right.
There's no actual negative choice that you can do. So it's not a real survey, because a survey would have to represent two opposing opinions, and great to okay are not opposing opinions.
Right.
You can explain why you put your selection in, but I don't know that anyone's actually going to read it. But then on this little bottom, it says, by providing your phone number, you are consenting to receive calls, SMSs, NMS messages, including blah, 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 from Trump Make America Great Again campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fishing to harass you.
Of course.
They're not giving you an option of anything. I mean, because when I was first said, oh, there's somebody, and it's actually wanting to say, do you think Trump's doing a good job? I thought that it may, you know, foolish. I can be naive sometimes. I can. It's hard to believe. I thought that actually somebody really wanted my opinion. I thought that maybe this was some independent that, you know. And then when I realized that there was no way to give an honest opinion unless you thought he was fabulous, you know, right. Or you, you know, stuff like this, then I started to read all the fine print. So I wanted to bring this up because it's a load of crap that I would hope that the viewers would not get sucked into. Because you may think that Trump is the most awful president going, but if you fill this out, you have set yourself up to have to be fumigated off all of the ways that they contact you. And I'll bet you that it takes 2 to 3 times before you actually get off. I would bet my bottom dollar on it. It won't even happen the first time. You'll still get it. I just wanted to share that. If you are on Facebook and you see one of those, you can poke your head in and look at them. This is the official presidential job performance survey. How would you rate my performance so far? Please take a moment to qualify. Please take a moment to take the one question poll today. And of course, we all know that Trump does not accept any kind of critical feedback, even if it's positive critical feedback, as long as it's critical. If it's anything other than Hail Mary and oh God, Trump saved the world, then he's not going to hear it anyways.
Well, we don't want to hurt his feelings.
Isn't there an assumption there that I don't think you can prove?
That he has feelings?
Yeah.
Well, sure, he has feelings. I mean, he's clearly incredibly insecure. He's known to have anger.
He has feelings, he has emotions.
They're just all negative, that's all.
So you look into these things more than I do. And so I have to ask you this question while I have you here, because we slid back into politics, but this is the last show that we'll do together before this next set of elections. So I'm gonna dive back in for a second, because Andrew Gillum's name came up. What do you think of this Florida race? And do you think the guy really was trying to speak in code, and he really was trying to be subtly racist to fire up the bigots in Florida to come vote for him?
So when you say that, I assume you're talking about Ron DeSantis's, and Ron DeSantis, of course, is a Republican nominee. You're talking about his comment that he was talking about Andrew Gillum, and he said, we don't want to monkey this up. I assume that's what you're...
Yep.
Yeah. So if you watch that... Now, see, I tend to... I'm someone who tries to be very, very careful not to use the R word, racist, about somebody. Unless it's because sometimes people for example, I actually stuck up for Megyn Kelly recently because I don't think she was trying to be racist with what she said. I think she was just being a little naive and so forth. I tend to be very, very careful about that. And I want to give people somewhat the benefit of the doubt. However, if you watch that clip of what Ron DeSantis said, when he said it, the context and so forth, I think it's obvious that he was doing that intentionally. When he used that phrase, you know, we don't want to monkey this up, he said it very deliberately. He knew exactly what he was doing. And I think that he probably figured that not only is it a good dog whistle for some of his base who may not have realized, because there may have been people who are Republicans who would obviously vote for DeSantis, who didn't necessarily, you know, you've always got people who kind of pay a little bit of attention, but not too closely. There may have been people in his base who may not have realized that Andrew Gillum is black, you know, who maybe didn't pay enough attention to notice anything about DeSantis's opponent. So him doing that, because I think it was a calculation, him doing that was a dog whistle to say to his base, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but my opponent is black. And then I think that he figured, or they figured, his campaign figured, obviously we're going to get called racist for this. So then when that happens, we just act all indignant, like we're the victims, like, how dare you call us that? That's a common phrase. People talk about monkeying around and things like that. How dare you hang the R word on us. So I think it was all a calculation in the most cynical possible way. And I think it was very intentional, absolutely deliberate. And I think it's going to bite him in the end. And I think and I hope that Andrew Gillum ends up winning and teaches this guy and his acolytes a lesson, because I think it was absolutely intentional.
Well, and it's one of the reasons why I asked you, because you put more time and energy into the deep dives on this stuff than I have time to, frankly. You know, because, you know, you're doing a show 5 days a week for 2 hours. This are a lot of your topics. You have a lot of people come in and you research your topics, these kinds of topics well. Where I what I read tends to obviously be more liberal leaning. That's what I get, though. I have friends that support Trump that show up stuff on my line all the time or make comments all the time, and I will never hide them. I will never put them down. Because I want to see, I'd like to try to see both sides. But, you know, there was the other parts of it, like, you know, he took money from somebody who clearly made racist comments and wouldn't give it back when it came clear. And then there was something else. And I'm like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of evidence building. But I was like, if somebody is going to have a different take on it because they've really researched it and they go, this is all smoke and mirrors, I figured it would be you. And that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, we don't always agree sometimes on some of these things. We've had a couple of places where I just see it completely different than you. But
yeah.
I know you just don't drink any of the Kool-Aid and then just agree with it. You push it around and stuff like this. So, in our last few minutes, is there anything new coming up in the life of IPM Nation, Matt Connerton Unleashed? I've got a couple of little announcements myself at the end I'm going to squeeze in if possible, so I'd like to see what's going on with you first, though.
Well, one thing I would like people to know is, as far as Matt Connerton Unleashed, if you're wondering how to find it, because sometimes, you know, I'll have these very quick discussions with people and it's like, you know, if it's a brief interaction, you know, you got to tell somebody, you know, how to find what you're doing in a way that's succinct and quick. So I'll usually tell people, Google my name. If you Google Matt Connerton Unleashed, or if you just Google Matt Connerton, you'll find my show. It is live weekdays 4 to 6, but it's also, you know, it goes up on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, and a number of other places where you can find podcasts, because as soon as the show's over, it gets uploaded to the web, and you can find it all over the place. My show is at this point very easy to find. So, you know, if someone's wondering how to find it, just Google me. You'll find my show. You'll find me. It's very, very easy. And as far as IPM Nation, we're always adding new things, new programming, all kinds of great stuff. So keep an eye on that, too, IPMNation.com. And please like the Facebook page if you haven't done so already, and like our videos on YouTube and all that good stuff. And check out Dr. Kevin and Friends, the channel that we have on IPM Nation as well.
So so have you picked up recently any of the new content I have been generating? Have you uploaded new stuff lately, Matt? I'm calling you live on air, or are we falling behind?
Well, I mean, we don't have any new television stuff recently, because I know that's currently changing.
Yeah. So Dragons and Unicorns is officially closed down. I'm not going to continue that show.
Okay.
You know, that was a heart project, and it was one that I love doing, but there are only so many hours in a day and only so many days in a week, and something had to give. Something's got to go. And so that's one of them. Web of Light is temporarily on hiatus and is probably going to be shifting locations and set up the format a little differently. I may be just moving that to one or two shows a month, because a weekly show is a bit much. But I am launching a new project, a new television project.
Oh, great.
This is the working name of a new series that's going to get released after the first of the year. I'm working on it right now. And it is called Changing Your Life, 8 minutes at a time. And these are a series of things that I'm doing, and people, spiritual experts and advisors and people from all over the world that I'm going to be interviewing, and they have just 8 minutes to quickly tell you a little bit about who they are and where they come from, and then to give you one or two things that you can use or utilize or to for you to help understand that will change your life. And all the shows are going to be 8 minutes or less.
Oh, I like it.
Yep. Changing your life 8 minutes at a time.
I like it. Yeah. It's a great concept.
So keep your eye out for that. Matt, you and I'll be talking more soon. I've got to make it into Manchester one of these afternoons and
absolutely
do a surprise visit. Take care.
That would be great. All right. Thank you.
Bye.